بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 11th session, reading from بواعث الخلاص من الذنوب, يعني how to escape sins, or the means and ways for a person to avoid disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the original text for this subject is from Al-Imam Shamsuddin Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Dimashqi al-Hanbali rahimahullah, better known as Ibn Qayyim. And the commentary is from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we begin with our topic for tonight, which is going to be the 11th Ba'ith, we're going to review just quickly some of the matters that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 10. The first question being, summarize the 10th Ba'ith, the 10th religious Islamic motivational factor and its reality as presented by Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. The 10th Ba'ith. In summary. Fadl, Talib.
Being aware of the calamity of sin.
Okay, being aware of the calamity of sin. Anybody want to add to that? Now.
Being aware that true well-being is to be saved from sin, and that true hardship or difficulty or a true bad situation is to be sinful.
So Ibn Qayyim says that this is mashhad al-bala wal-afiyah. Yani it is a person being conscious and aware of the reality of what is al-bala. Yani a person being afflicted. Yani the person who is afflicted, he said this is nothing more than al-dhunub, sins, and the consequences of sins. And al-afiyah, well-being, is al-ta'at, yani obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which comes with obedience. So these two realities, that if a person really desires well-being, al-afiyah is in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if their body may be afflicted with some kind of sickness. And real affliction is not so much, not yani primarily, purely, just the person who has some physical sickness or disease, but rather yani al-bala, or the person that is afflicted, is really the person who has been afflicted with disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an important reality that a Muslim needs to focus on to realize what is true well-being. It is in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the opposite of it is in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and its consequences. Question number two, complete the narration mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, in which he said, when you see a people who have been afflicted. Yani the narration that Ibn Qayyim mentions, when you see a people who have been afflicted, then what? What is the rest of the narration? Naam, Pate. Then ask Allah for al-afiyah. And if you see a person who has been afflicted, then ask Allah for al-afiyah, for well-being. Yani that Allah protect you from that which that person has been afflicted with. Question number three. Some scholars said, Ahlul Bala, the people who have been afflicted, are those tested with disobedience to Allah and what? The people who are afflicted are those who have been afflicted, with disobedience to Allah and Naam, Abdul Wali.
And turning away from Allah and being unmindful of Allah.
And turning away from Allah. Al-Irad and Al-Ghafla Anhu. Yani, the person who is really afflicted, primarily, first and foremost, and most importantly, is the person who has been afflicted with being in a state of disobedience to Allah. And being in a state of Irad, the person who has turned away from Allah. And the person who is unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number four, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, in response to that interpretation of the bala, he says, although the greatest bala is being afflicted in one's deen, the expression al-bala is also inclusive of what?
Being
It also includes not just the person who's afflicted in their deen, but it also includes now.
Also in their body and in their consciousness.
Okay, it includes all other kinds of infliction of people who are afflicted, all other types of afflictions. Yani whether it is afflictions in the person's deen or physical afflictions in their body or their mind. Now, all other types of afflictions, whether it is that which has befallen a person physically in their body or that which has afflicted them in their deen in terms of disobedience to Allah and their relationship with Allah or the absence of it. Question number 5, there is no supplication that a person supplicates with better than, oh Allah, I ask you for what? Allahumma inni as'aluka. Try to go back to the actual text of the hadith. If anybody has the text, don't look at the paper. But the text of the hadith, the way the Shaykh mentioned the hadith. This is the hadith that's reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, where the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِن دَعْوَةٍ يَدْعُو بِهَا عَبْدٌ الْعَبْدُ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ المعافات في الدنيا والآخرة. And the Prophet ﷺ said that there is no supplication which a person supplicates with that's better than to say, O Allah, I ask you for al-mu'afat fi dunya wal-akhirah. That I ask you, yani, to be protected from harm and evil, yani, in this world and in the next life. Question number 6. The Prophet ﷺ said, ask Allah for al-afwa wal-afiyah, for no one has been given, anything better? What else? No one has been given anything. Ba'd al-yaqeen. No one has been given anything after al-yaqeen that is better than al-afiyah. Question number 7. The Prophet ﷺ told his uncle Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu to make plenty of what? This is the hadith that's reported by At-Tabarani and it is sahih. He said to his uncle, do what plentifully?
Dua.
Make a lot of dua for al-afiyah. Yani akthir al-dua bil-afiyah. So we have passed, if anybody didn't get a copy of it, there's probably some copies still left in the back, some of the narrations related to this topic in which the Prophet ﷺ says, Allahumma, telling a person to make this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. And in another narration, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah. And in another narration, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah. And all of these are authentic narrations from the Prophet ﷺ related to the topic that we discussed last week. Very, very, very important supplications that a person, yani, should memorize. The wording are not long. Yani, they are very easy. It's possible for a person to memorize it in one sitting. And if a person couldn't memorize it, then at least to read it from a paper. Because this is a dua that we all, or these are duas that we all need to be making. The last question is summarize the first 10 bawa'ith. The first 10 bawa'ith, motivational factors mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim. The first 10, up until, yani, last week. Last week was the 10th. So, first one.
Reverence of Allah.
Ijlalullah wa azamuhu. Second one.
Love of Allah.
Love of Allah. Mahabbatullah. The love of Allah due to which a person would be obedient to him. The third of them. Acknowledging Allah's blessing, the ni'mah of Allah, wa in'amuhu, ihsanuhu. The fourth one. Okay, the wrath of Allah, the anger of Allah and His wrath. And knowing that, when a person is disobedient to Allah, it invokes His anger. And when Allah becomes angry, He punishes. And no one can withstand the punishment. The fifth one. The great loss of good, that a person will lose out in this world and the next life due to committing sins. Yani the good that Allah would have given them. The sixth one. Yani the joy, the pleasure, the enjoyment of suppressing conquering, overcoming the nafs and overcoming shaitan. The seventh one. Is it seven?
Seven,
now.
Be conscious of the compensation of good and reward.
Compensation from Allah. The good compensation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person will receive if they give up something that they desire, some pleasure that Allah has forbidden. If a person gives it up for the sake of Allah, Allah will compensate them with that which is better than it in this world or in the next life. And the eighth one. The special... Yani ma'iyya, the ma'iyya of Allah, that Allah being with someone, Allah being near someone in the sense that He helps and supports and defends them. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight from one of the ayahs that the Shaykh mentions tonight. That's number 8, 9 and 10.
Shortness of life,
yani the reality, the expectation, the consciousness of the real possibility that death may come unexpectedly and Allah may take a person's soul suddenly, in which case yani they wouldn't have a chance to rectify it. So a person should be conscious of that and beware and try to be in a good condition in their relationship with Allah at all times, because death may come suddenly. And the last one is the one that we already mentioned in the beginning, that is the mashhad of al-bala wal-afiya, and knowing the reality that al-bala, affliction, is yani sins and its consequences, and al-afiyah, well-being, is obedience to Allah and its rewards. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at the 11th ba'ith, from those things that help a person to escape from, to avoid and distance themselves from acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned in the previous sessions, the text for the 11th ba'ith is in the back of the book on page 62, point number 11. And then after that, we're going to go for the Shaykh's explanation to the front of the book, to page 27. In Arabic, we'll be reading from page 32. Page 32 and 33. So, and as far as this 11th point, the translation of it is a little bit, has some problems, but in any case, we'll just kind of go through it quickly to get the general idea of what we're talking about in terms of this 11th matter that a person needs to know, so that if they know it and they understand it, perhaps they will implement it and it will help them to avoid committing sins against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the translation goes on page 62, point number 11, it is that a person gets accustomed to the implementation of the religious motivational factors and methods to struggle and battle against lust gradually, bit by bit, until he grasps the ecstasy or the joy or the pleasure of victory, and thus his resolve strengthens. So, I mean, this whole statement is the 11th point, that a person gets accustomed, makes it a habit, get used to utilizing, implementing these bawa'ith, the religious motivational factors, to struggle and to strive and to battle against yani their desires, their hawa, gradually, little by little, until that person attains the joy of victory, yani overcoming their hawa, their desires, and as a result of that, their resolve will become stronger. Ibn Qayyim goes on to say, verily when a person tastes the ecstasy or the sweetness, the joy of something, that person's resolve to achieve it strengthens. When a person enjoys something, their determination and their resolve to attain it, yani, becomes stronger. He gives the example here, yani, this strengthening of a person's resolve to achieve that good pleasure of overcoming, yani, the desires or the yani impulse to do evil. He compares this strengthening of one's resolve to the just like getting accustomed to burdensome work. Yani a person who gets used to doing hard work, just like getting accustomed to burdensome work, increases one's strength. Yani a person is doing hard work, they get gradually, little by little, stronger and stronger. So they increase in the strength that is required for these types of jobs, heavy work. So you find, for example, he says, the baggage carriers, or the strength of the baggage carriers, and those engaged in manual labor increases. And people who are doing hard work, their strength gradually increases, unlike cloth traders, yani the people who sell cloth, and tailors who sew clothing and the like, who are doing yani easy work that's not difficult. And then he closes by saying, so totally abandoning the struggle against the soul, against the nafs, against the hawa, totally abandoning this struggle weakens the influence of the religious motivational factors, and the drive of desires strengthens. Yani if a person doesn't struggle against their hawa, then it becomes stronger within a person. Whoever accustoms himself to countering his desires, opposing, rejecting, yani resisting those desires to do evil, the person who accustoms himself to opposing his desires, resisting them, then he will be able to overcome them whenever he chooses. The point here is what, that if, yani if a person makes an active effort, an attempt to struggle against the impulses and the invitations and the calls to do evil, whether it is from their nafs that calls them to evil, whether it is the desires of things that are pleasurable that are prohibited by Allah, whether it is shaitan, the person who struggles against this gradually becomes stronger. They gradually become stronger and are able to overcome it. The person who doesn't struggle against it, then the bawa'ith, ad-deen, the religious motivational factors that would help the person to overcome evil become weaker, and the impulses to evil become stronger. As far as the explanation of the Shaykh, so the explanation is quite different in the translation than it is from the Arabic, but anyway, we'll just kind of go through it. He mentions in the Arabic two ayats, in the English he mentions one, the main one is mentioned in the English translation, the second one that he mentions in the Arabic is any connected to it. But in any case, the main ayat is here. He says in the front of the book on page 27, striving against the soul. So what is intended here is that a person become accustomed to gradually, yani making it their habit to strive and to struggle and to resist evil impulses. The 11th way to escape sins that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned is to progressively become accustomed to countering, yani opposing, resisting, striving against the call to lust and desires through religious motivation, yani through those yani Islamic yani characteristics or qualities that help a person to do good and resist doing evil. This means that a person trains himself and he makes it one's habit, becomes accustomed and used to yani striving against his nafs or against his desires, his hawa, or against shaitan. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَا الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And this is from Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 69th Ayah. Yani, and those who strive hard for us, we will surely guide them to our paths, and verily Allah is with the good doers. So this ayah, even though it only contains a few words, inshallah we'll look at some of the tafsirs concerning it when we come to it in the Shaykh's explanation. And we'll see that even though it only contains a few words, it contains a lot of meaning. Very, very, very important meanings that if a person is conscious of and aware of, then definitely it will be helpful to them. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, those who strive hard for us. That's the first part of the ayah. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Then if those who do that, Allah says, then we will definitely yani guide them to our paths. And then it closes with the third statement, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَا الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And indeed, definitely, certainly, Allah is with the muhsineen, the people of ihsan. Thus, after this, the Shaykh says, thus the Muslim possesses religious motivation. Yani there are some qualities or characteristics within the human being, yani within the Muslim, because of their yani Islam, that motivates them to do good and to resist evil. The Muslim possesses religious motivation. Rather, there are several religious motivational factors, as we have previously mentioned. Just as there are evil temptations and stimuli that come from here and there. So there are factors within the yani character of the human, of the Muslim, that help them. If they are conscious of those things and they try to apply them, that will help the person to do good. And there are also yani temptations that call a person to doing evil. And those temptations or those calls to evil may come from within the person himself or may come from outside of the person. But all of it needs to be struggled against. The Shaykh, he says, so he needs to treat, to repel, to struggle with the temptations that call him towards evil through or by means of using the religious motivation, which is called, and this struggling is called mujahada. And mujahada is a form of resistance, muqawama, that involves resisting the temptations that incite evil within his soul and call to it. Here, I just want to mention that these two terms, yani mujahada and muqawama, perhaps could be understood in a clearer light if we consider mujahada, striving, as the person actively going on the offensive to strive against evil. And muqawama, yani as the person, yani defensively struggling against and resisting the evil. So a person actively fights against it, and a person also struggles to resist. So there's offense and there's also defense, and both of these are necessary in order for a person to overcome yani these evil temptations and calls to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Arabic, we are reading from page 32 and 33. At the top of the page, قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله. الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله, he says, الهادي عشر, يعني the 11th, باعث, أن يعوض ويعوض. يعني it seems as though it's printed here with كسر, but perhaps it should be a فتحة. يعني يعوض, الله عالم, يعني مبني للمجهول. And باعث would be the, يعني نائب فاعل. Allahu A'lam. But in any case, the meaning is not going to be a lot different, but it seems as though أن يعوض could be, but it's probably أن يعوض باعث الدين ودواعيه مصارعة الهوى ومقاومته على التدريج قليلا قليلا حتى يدرك لذة الظفر فتقوى حينئذ حمته. يعني the 11th matter is that the ba'ith ad-deen, yani the religious motivational factors, are utilized in a way that a person makes it a habit, becomes accustomed to these ba'ith ad-deen and the wa'i of the deen, the things that call to good, yani that they struggle and fight against the hawa, that a person utilizes these religious impulses, these religious factors, these asbab, these means of establishing the deen in one's life, and the things that call to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, utilizing them, yani making it a habit and becoming accustomed to using them to fight against the hawa, the desires of the human being that are contrary to what Allah has legislated or what Allah is pleased with. وَمُقَاوَمَتَهُ, and also to resist, yani to strive. مُصَارَعَ means to struggle and to fight, and مُقَاوَمَ, مُصَارَعَ means to strive and to struggle, مُقَاوَمَ means to resist. So that a person becomes accustomed to utilizing these religious motivational factors to strive against the hawa and to resist it. عَلَى التَّجْرِيجِ, yani gradually, قَلِيلًا قَلِيلًا, yani that they become accustomed to striving against and resisting the evil desires and the calls to evil. They become accustomed to this little by little, yani little by little, in the same way that a person does something to strengthen their ability, like lifting weights, or doing push-ups. A person gradually, little by little, strengthens themselves to be able to do more and more and more. So it is, what is intended here is that little by little, qaleelan qaleelan, in a gradual manner, a person yani becomes accustomed little by little to resisting and fighting against their desires and resisting the calls to evil until hatta yudraka ladhat al-dhafr, until they attain the joy, the pleasure of conquering and overcoming the desires and the calls to evil. Yani gradually they struggle and they strive and they resist until they attain the pleasure of conquering those desires. And here, perhaps, what is intended by here, حَتَّى يُدْرَكْ لَذَّةَ الظَّفَرَ, yani until a person who in the beginning struggles to resist those things, and then they are able to overcome them to the extent that it's no longer a struggle, rather becomes a pleasure. It becomes a pleasurable affair. And it's like some of the Salaf said, that they struggled to perform the night prayers for so many years until yani it became a pleasure to them. It wasn't now a struggle to get up and pray in the night. It became a joy and a pleasure that a person yani can't do without. You have to get up and pray because of the pleasure that you enjoy. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah is saying that a person yani accustoms themselves to resisting and struggling against their desires little by little until they reach the point where it becomes until they begin to enjoy this conquering, this overcoming of their desires. فَتَقْوَى هِنَا إِذٍ هَمَّتُهُ. And in that, and as a result of that, the person's yani determination and resolve becomes stronger. Yani their determination and their resolve to overcome and to resist these evil desires yani is strengthened little by little. It becomes stronger and stronger. Then the Shaykh says, فَإِنَّ مَنْ ذَاقَ لَذَّةَ شَيْءٍ قُوِيَتْ هَمَّتُهُ فِي تَحْصِيلِهِ. That when a person has tasted the sweetness of something, then their determination, their resolve to achieve that thing becomes stronger. Yani when a person enjoys something, once they have tasted that pleasure and that joy, then their desire for it becomes, and their determination and their resolve to achieve it becomes stronger. وَالْإِعْتِيَادْ لِمُمَارَسَةِ الْعَمَالَ الشَّاقَ يَزِيدُ الْقُوَى الَّتِي تَصْدُرُ عَنْهَا تِلْكَ الْعَمَالَ. So when a person becomes accustomed their self to doing hard labor, يعني العمال الشاقة, person accustoms himself to doing this hard work, يزيد القوة التي تصدر عنها تلك الأعمال. Then the strength that enables them to do this hard work increases. When a person accustoms himself to doing hard work, the strength that enables them to do the hard work increases. They become stronger. They become stronger. ولذلك نجد قوة الحمالين وأرباب الصناعي الشاقة تتزايد. And for this reason you find that the strength of the people who are carrying things, whether it's baggage or other than that, people who are lifting and carrying heavy things, the people who are doing hard labor, تتزايد. يعني their strength little by little increases. Little by little, yani, their strength increases. They get stronger and stronger. بخلاف البزاز والخياط ونحوهما. And this is contrary to what happens with البزاز, is the person who sells bez. And bez is a thiab. So the bezaz is the cloth merchant, the person who sells clothing or cloth. Well, khayat is the person who sews clothing. So he said, these people, their situation is different. Because they are not doing heavy labor, we don't see that their strength is increasing at all. Or people who do any this kind of work that doesn't involve heavy labor. The Shaykh He closes by saying, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمُجَاهَدَ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ ضَعُفَ فِيهِ بَعْثَ الدِّينِ وَقَوِيَ فِيهِ بَعْثَ الشَّهْوَةِ وَمَتَى عَوَّدَ نَفْسَهُ مُخَالَفَةَ الْحَوَى غَلَبَهُ مَتَى أَرَادَ. So whoever abandons al-mujahada, yani this striving and struggling against the calls to evil, against the evil desires or the evil impulses, the person who abandons this struggle, who doesn't try to resist, who doesn't try to struggle against it, the ba'ath ad-deen, the Islamic religious motivational factors that would help that person when they give up the struggle, those yani things become weaker. The person becomes weaker. وَقَوِيَ فِيهِ بَعْثَ الشَّهْوَةِ, and the impulses to fulfill a person's desire become stronger. The impulses to do evil becomes stronger. And then he says, and whenever a person has accustomed themselves, made it their habit to oppose their desires, it became their habit to oppose their desires. Whenever they had an evil desire, they resisted it, they fought against it. The person who does this, then that person will eventually be able to overcome their desires whenever they willed. Meaning the more a person struggles against those evil impulses, those invitations to sin, to disobey Allah, the more the person fights against it and resists it, the stronger they will become in doing so. And they will be able to overcome them at will. It will become easy for a person to resist. And a clear example of this is the difference between the Muslims and the Kafirs. The Muslims in general. Muslims in general are able to resist that which Kafirs have no ability to resist at all. Yani Kafirs cannot resist intoxicants, cannot resist illegal sexual relations, cannot resist gambling and other things like this. Whereas a Muslim, a practicing Muslim, I don't mean the people who just yani born in a Muslim country, but the practicing Muslim is able to resist these things. Yani it is not the norm that Muslims are engaged in intoxicants. Sure, there are Muslims who commit all kinds of sins, but that's not the norm for Muslims. So the Muslim is able, because of their religious yani inclinations and motivations and their fear of Allah and their desire to please Allah and their hope for the reward of Allah and the paradise and their fear of the hellfire, because of these things, the Muslim is able to resist with relative ease that which the kafir can't resist at all. Can't resist at all. And here I'll just mention a story that I may have mentioned before. I remember we had a dawah program in one of the countries in the Gulf, and we invited American military personnel to a place, and the point was to invite them out, yani, just as host, yani, they're visiting our country, the Kafirs are visiting the Muslim country, to invite them out and share with them some food and meet them and get to know them and give dawah. That was our means of dawah. And one of the discussions that came up was, because one time when we invited them, and it was Ramadan, and some of the people were saying, I don't know how you people can go without eating from sunrise to sunset. We said, no, not from sunrise, from dawn until sunset. They said, that's even more difficult. These are military people, soldiers. They said, we can't resist eating and drinking for a whole day. Like, it's impossible. How are you people able to do that? And for the most part, Muslims are able to do it with ease. And this shows that when a person becomes accustomed to obedience to Allah and resisting sin, it becomes easy. And it becomes a joy. And how many Muslims at the end of Ramadan say we wish that Ramadan would go on? Because of the joy of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pleasure, the sweetness of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh in his explanation, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Musta'an. The Shaykh in his explanation, he says, Al-Amr al-Hadi Ashra, the 11th matter, Ta'azizu Mujahadati Dawa'i al-Sharr. Strengthening the striving against the calls to evil, the impulses to evil. Yani a person making an effort to strengthen their struggle or their effort, strengthening their effort to overcome the calls to evil. فَإِنَّ مِنْ فَضَائِلْ مُجَاهَدَةِ الْهَوَى وَالشَّيْطَانِ حُصُولِ مَنَاعَةٍ لِلنَّفْسِ مِنْهُمَا. Indeed, from the virtues or the benefits of striving against one's desires and striving against shaitan is that a person would achieve the strength or the power of resistance. Yani their nafs would become strong and have the power to resist the hawa, desires, yani illegal, unlawful desires, and to resist the shaitan. Yani the person who strives against the hawa, they achieve mana'atin, yani a strength or a power to resist these things, the hawa and the shaitan. وَبِهَذِي الْمُقَاوَمَةِ. And due to this resistance that they achieve from striving against the hawa and the shaitan, due to this resistance, he says, تَدْعُفُ الرَّغْبَةُ فِي الْمَعَاسِي. The desire to commit sin becomes weakened. Because of the person's resistance, even the desire to commit those sins gets weaker. وَيَسْحُلُ عَلَيْهِ تَرْكُهَا. And his, yani abandoning those sins becomes easier. So these are three benefits of mujahad and muqawama, that a person achieves the strength and the power of resistance, and their desire to sin becomes weaker, and their abandoning of the sins become easier. قال الله تعالى قالت كما قال تعالى. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut 29th Surah and the 69th Ayat, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That those who strive in our cause, in our way, for our pleasure, for our sake, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ, we would definitely guide them, سُبُلَنَا, to the ways, yani, that lead to success and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And indeed, Allah is definitely with the people of ihsan, the people who do good, the people who worship Allah, yani, as though they see Him, or they worship Allah knowing that He sees them. And also the saying of Allah in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 76th Ayat, يَزِيدُ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ اِحْتَدَوْ هُدَى. And Allah will give an increase to those who follow guidance. He will give them an increase in guidance. He will increase their guidance. So the first ayah is telling us that those who strive and who struggle in the cause of Allah, then as a result of that, Allah will guide them more in His way. And Allah will be with the people of Ihsan. The second ayah corresponds to it in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if a person follows the guidance that they have, Allah will give them more guidance. يَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْ هُدَى. Allah will give them more guidance. And these two ayat, especially the first of them, yani, especially the first ayat, is yani supporting the principle that Ibn Qayyim is mentioning here, that is the need and the necessity of striving in the cause of Allah. And as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you and protect you and help you and support you and defend you. And indeed, Allah is with the people of Ihsan. I want to look at some tafsir of these ayahs, but because the time is very short, I'm going to try to just complete what the Shaykh said and then come back to these ayahs. The Shaykh says, فَالْمُسْلِمُ إِذَا جَاهَدَ وَقَاوَمَ. Here again, the Shaykh is mentioning these two matters. The Muslim, إِذَا جَاهَدَ, if he strives, وَقَاوَمَ, and resist, دَوَاعِ الشَّرِّ وَبَوَاعِثَهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُيَسِّرُ لَهُ سُبْلَ الْهِدَايَةِ وَالرَّشَادِ بخلاف من استسلم لدواعي الشر فإنه سيضعف عن مقاومتها ويصبح أسير شهواته. يعني so the Shaykh is saying, so the Muslim therefore, if he strives يعني offensively against the calls to evil, the impulses to evil, and resist, strives and resist يعني offensively and defensively against the calls and the impulses of evil and the things that lead to evil, then Allah will make easy for him. يُيَسِّرُ لَهُ سُبْلَ الْهِدَايَةِ وَالرَّشَادِ يعني لَيَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبْلَنَا. The Shaykh says, then Allah will make easy for them the ways of guidance and right behavior. As opposed to, or contrary to, مَنْ اسْتَسْلَمَ لِدِوَايَ الشَّرْ. As opposed to the one who willingly surrenders to the calls to evil. فَأَنَّهُ يَدْعُفُ. Then he will become weak in resisting the calls to evil. وَيُصْبِهُ أَسِيرَ شَهَوَاتِهِ. And he will become the captive of his desires. He will become the captive of his desires. And then the Shaykh quotes from Ibn Qayyim in another place. He says in his book Al-Fawaid, Ibn Qayyim says, أَكْمَلَ النَّاسِ هِدَايَةً. And this is in reference to the first ayah, where Allah says, those who strive in our ways, we will guide them to our ways. And Allah will be with the muhsineen. Ibn Qayyim says, أَكْمَلَ النَّاسِ هِدَايَةً. The people who will be most complete and perfect in terms of having right guidance is أَعْظَمُهُ جِهَادَةً. Is the one who strives more, who makes jihad to a greater degree. Yani the greater you strive, the more complete will be your guidance. وَأَفْرَدَ الْجِهَادِ. And the most obligatory of all manners of jihad are jihad al-nafs, wa jihad al-hawa, wa jihad al-shaytan, wa jihad al-dunya. Yani the most obligatory, the most important, the most essential manners of jihad is jihad against the nafs, yani the lower self that calls to evil, and the hawa, desires, and the shaytan, and the dunya. Striving against these are the greatest forms of jihad, the most obligatory forms of jihad. فَمَنْ جَاهَدَ هَذِهِ الْأَرْبَعَ فِي اللَّهِ هَدَاهُ اللَّهُ سُبُلْ رِضَاهُ الْمُوصِلَ إِلَى جَنَّتِهِ. So whoever strives against these four, against the nafs, the lower self that calls one to evil, and desires, and the shaitan, and the dunya, whoever strives against these four for the sake of Allah, Allah will guide that person to the paths, to the roads, to the ways of His pleasure that lead to His Jannah. Yani the paths of that earn the pleasure of Allah and lead a person to His paradise. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الْجِهَادِ فَاتَهُ مِنَ الْهُدَى بِحَسَبِ مَا أَبْطَلَ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ. And the person who abandons this struggle against the lower desires and against the shaitan and the calls, the desires of this world, whoever abandons this struggle, then to the extent that he neglects this struggle, to that extent, yani he will lose out on the guidance, the huda. Yani fatahu min al-huda. How much of the huda will pass him by will be in accordance with the extent to which he neglects this struggle. So here, the last two statements that Ibn Qayyim is making, the person who strives, Allah will guide him to his pleasure, and that which leads to his paradise, and the person who abandons this struggle, then he will lose out on the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent that he abandons the struggle. How much time we have for the account? Okay. So I'm going to look at the tafsir of at least the first ayah, if not the second ayah. And I looked at four main tafsirs, or five, sometimes more, but the main tafsirs that I'm going to just read quickly from is the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, which is the classical foundation tafsir, and then the tafsir of Ibn Jawzi, yani Zad al-Masir fi ilm al-tafsir, and then from the contemporary scholars, the tafsir of Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Jazari, and the tafsir of Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. And I'm probably not going to mention each tafsir that I'm reading from, but I'll just mention the meanings of what they said as a benefit, inshallah. The first thing is that in this ayat, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, there are two things that are not mentioned in the text of the ayat that are understood. And the first of them is وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا, yani some of the scholars of tafsir said جَاهَدُوا is mentioned without any yani restriction. So that means it's left open, so that it can include striving against everything that is obligatory to strive against, whether it's the nafs al-amara bisu, that calls the person to evil, or the shaitan, or the enemies of Islam. Yani, so it is left open without the mention of what you are striving against, so that it includes everything that's obligatory to strive against. And the second thing that's left out, that's understood, is jahadu fina. Yani, what is intended by it is fi sabilina. Yani, who strives against all of the things that we must strive against in the way of Allah, in the path of Allah, for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. So from the tafsir, starting with Ibn Kathir, he says the meaning of وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, it means the messenger of Allah and his companions رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, and all of his followers until the day of judgment. Yani, those who strive in our way is the messenger of Allah and his companions رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, and all of his followers until the day of judgment. Ibn al-Jawzi says وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا قَاتَلُوا أَعْدَانَا لِأَجْلِنَا, yani those who fought against the enemies of Islam for the sake of Allah. And some of them said min ajlina, yani li ajlina, min ajlina, same thing, for the sake of Allah. The Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Jizari says yani allatheena jahadu fina badhalu juhdahum fi tashih aqaidihim wa tazkiyat nufusihim wa tahdhib akhlaqihim thumma biqital a'da'illah min ahl al-kufr al-muharibin lil-islam wal-muslimin. He said, those who strive in our way, it means those who exert their efforts to correct their aqidah, their beliefs, and to purify their souls, and to refine their character. And then they fight against the enemies of Allah who are making war against Islam and the Muslims. Yani, those who did what? First they corrected their aqidah, their beliefs. And then they purified their nafs. And then they refined their character, and then they fought in the way of Allah. And he also said that it means those who strive in the way of Allah, طَلَبًا لِمَرَضَاتِ اللَّهِ, seeking the pleasure of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, أَلَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, it means those who هَاجَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, وَجَاهَدُوا أَعْدَاهُمْ وَبَذَّلُوا مَجْهُودَهُمْ فِي اتِّبَاءِ مَرْضَاتِهِ. Yani, that those who strive in our way are those who made hijrah in the path of Allah. Yani, going back to the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. And then they fought against the enemies of Islam. And then they exerted themselves in seeking to, yani, achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the rest of their affairs. As far as the second part of this ayah, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Yani, some of the scholars said that in this verb نَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ, yani the fa'il is نَحْنُ لِلْتَعْظِيمِ, yani that Allah is saying we will guide them, and this is the meaning of it is, yani this shows the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by him using this kind of expression, that we will guide them, even though it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, singly alone, who is guiding. Some of the Ibn Kathir says, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ means لَنُبَصِّرَنَّهُمْ. And some of the scholars said, لَنُوَفِّقَنَّهُمْ. And some of them, yani, said, yani, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ طُرُقْ الْمُوْسِلَ إِلَيْنَا. Yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that we will guide them to our ways, meaning we will make clear to them, make them be able to see the paths of Allah in this life and in the next life. And some of them said that it means Allah will give them tawfiq, success in achieving the right way, or in knowing that which leads to His love and His pleasure, and then Allah will help them to actually achieve it. Some of the scholars said, yani Ibn al-Jawzi says, yani لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ means لَنَزِيدَنَّهُمْ هِدَايَةً. لَنَحْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبْلَنَا, we will give them an increase in guidance, and that's in accordance with the second ayah that the Shaykh mentioned, yani that those who follow the guidance, Allah will give them increase in guidance. This is actually how Ibn Jawzi explained لَنَحْدِيَنَّهُمْ, he said, it means لَنَزِيدَنَّهُمْ هِدَايَةً, we will give them, because they follow our paths, then we'll give them an increase in guidance. And also, yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di has a lengthy yani explanation of this. I'll try to just read some of it. He says, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, meaning the paths that lead to us and that is because they are the muhsineen, muhsinun. Yani meaning that the reason why Allah is guiding them is because of their ihsan that's mentioned in the end of the ayah, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. He said this ayat, that whoever strives in our way, we will guide them to our paths. He said this indicates that the people who will be, who have the most right to be given yani correct guidance are the people of jihad. Because what? وَالَّذِينَ يَعْنِي جَهَدُوا فِينَا. Because of that, they have the most right to right guidance. And it also indicates that the people who do well in accomplishing that which they have been commanded with, Allah will help them and He will make easy for them the means to achieve the guidance. And it also indicates that whoever strives and works hard in seeking Islamic religious knowledge, then that person will achieve right guidance. And they will also receive help from Allah to achieve it. And they will be able to achieve more than that which they could have achieved by their effort alone. And Allah will make easy for them the affair of knowledge. And that's because seeking Islamic religious knowledge is jihad in the way of Allah. Rather, it is one of the two ways of jihad, which only the special, exclusive people yani engage in. This second type of jihad, that is jihad bil-qawl wal-lisan, the jihad by the speech and by the tongue against the disbelievers and the munafiqeen, and also the jihad yani a person struggling to learn the affairs of the deen and to refute those who oppose the truth, even if they were Muslims. And finally, yani in one of the books of tafsir, the explanation that was given for لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, it means وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِي مَا عَلِمُوا, yani those who strived with that which they learned. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ إِلَى مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمُوا. Then Allah says He will guide them to that which they didn't learn. Yani those who strove to utilize that which they learned, then Allah will guide them to that which they had not yet learned. لِأَنَّ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Yani whoever acts upon that which he learned, then Allah will give him knowledge of that which he didn't yet know. And the last part of the ayat, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, most of the scholars explained it in the same way, that Allah will be with them. Yani as Ibn al-Jawzi says, yani Allah will be with them bin nusra wal aun, yani that He will give them support and help. And some of the scholars said, yani bi aunihi wa nasrihi wa ta'yidihi, that He will help them and He will grant them victory and aid. And some of the scholars said, He is with them i'anatan wa tasdeedan wa nusra, yani that He will and He helped them, and He would direct them to that which is right, and He will support them. And some of the scholars said, بِالْعَوْنِ وَالنَّصْرَ وَالْهِدَايَةِ, yani with His help, granting them victory and guidance. And some of the scholars said, بِالْعَوْنِ وَالنَّصْرَ وَالْحِفْظِ وَالْهِدَايَةِ, yani that Allah is with them, with the muhsineen, in terms of helping them, and granting them victory, and protecting them, and granting them guidance. One point here, it's mentioned in the tafsir of Ibn al-Jawzi, he said that Ibn Abbas said that Allah is with the muhsineen. He said, يُرِيدُ بِالْمُحْسِنِينَ الْمُوَحِدِينَ. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, what is intended by Allah is with the muhsineen? That Allah is with the muwahideen, yani the people who worship Allah alone, who establish at Tawheed. Some of the other scholars said, yani, Allah is with the muhsineen, it means al-mujahideen. Because in the ayat, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, so they said it means, yani, Allah is with the muhsineen, means He is with the mujahideen. Abdul ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, says, whoever found an issue, a mas'ala, difficult, intricate, فَلْيَسْأَلْ أَهْلُ الثُّغُورِ عَنْهَا, بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Ibn Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, Allah said, whoever finds difficulty in an issue, then ask the people who are on the frontiers, the people of jihad, because Allah has said that He will guide them. Yani meaning, those who strive in our way. Sheikh Abu Bakr Jazari says, and we close with this point, he says that the clarification of the excellence of ihsan that's mentioned in this ayah, that Allah is with the muhsineen. He said the clarification of the excellence of al-ihsan is in the fact that Allah is with the muhsineen. Yani that Allah will be with the people of ihsan. Yani helping them, supporting them, blessing them, and honoring them in His presence. So these are some of the meanings that are mentioned concerning yani this last part of the ayat, that Allah's help and His victory and His aid and His assistance and His protection and His guidance will be given to the people of ihsan, yani the people who strive in the way of Allah, that Allah promised He would guide them. And we'll stop with this. Now we'll stop with this, and I think it's important, yani when we do have time, to look at some of the ayats that the Shaykh mentions, because some of these ayats contain a lot more meaning than what's on the surface, even if we were reading it in Arabic. Yani especially the last part of this ayat, that Allah is with the muhsineen. Yani this is the what we mentioned previously, al-ma'iyyah, ma'iyyatullah al-khasa, that this is the special ma'iyyah of Allah, that means Allah being with near a person, it means that He will help them, that He will support them, that He will aid them, that He will defend them, that He will guide them, that He, yani Allah will be with them, yani meaning that He will help and support them and defend them. And this is yani from the yani favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who strive in His way, that He guides them and that He will help them and support them and defend them and protect them. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any questions or any comments or any corrections, inshallah we'll take them after the salat. And if anybody didn't get the bookmark last week in the end of, after the class was over, we had some bookmarks for this class which mentioned the 20 points of Ibn Qayyim. If anybody didn't get one, please before you leave today, make sure you get one from me, inshallah. Naam. بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خير. تفضل.